Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to continue a series. I really only got the foundation of the message started. I spent two Sundays actually preaching on that. I guess that's three Sundays ago, two Sundays ago. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. We shared some things about Pentecost and the significance of Pentecost. And how many know we need to celebrate, just like we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, we need to celebrate the day that the Holy Spirit was outpoured upon all flesh. We are able to experience the fullness of God in everything that He has for us because of what happened, not only on the day of resurrection, but then what followed it was a day when the Spirit of God was poured out upon all flesh. Do you realize that once you're born again, that is only the beginning of your journey? And that is what's can be equated to what happened at the moment of resurrection. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead, the moment that you're born again, you are raised from a place of spiritual death. You are given new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Aren't you glad everything has become new in him? But you don't stop there. You just get positioned at that moment for the Lord to begin to do something through you and in you. And on the day of Pentecost, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And so this is an experience that is subsequent to salvation. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Again, when you're born again, you are just positioned correctly so that you could begin your journey. But God has great things that He has in store for all of us. As you know, last week we celebrated our one-year anniversary down in High Praise, Orlando. We left, preached quickly, and then went out the door. We got there just in time for the service to begin. But I understand that there was close to a half a dozen people last week that got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. And then many that came to be refilled. And how many know that you can daily be refilled? You can begin to release your heavenly prayer language, begin to pray in the Spirit. I encourage everybody to spend at least, look at somebody and say, bare minimum. 15 minutes a day praying in the Spirit, bare minimum. Now, you should be able to do more than that because you can pray in the Spirit anywhere, anytime. Because understand this, whenever you pray in the Spirit, your mind doesn't have to be engaged because your spirit's doing the praying. In other words, I can be doing one thing, but I can be praying in the Holy Ghost at one time. I can be lathering up my hair and praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I can be turning on the shower water and I can be praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, you can be driving, and I encourage you whenever you drive, pray in the Holy Ghost. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. It'll keep things from coming out of your mouth that don't need to come out of your mouth, hallelujah, if you pray in the Holy Ghost. Most people have at least 15 minutes that they have to drive to work. Even here in Panama City, most people still have average at least 15 minutes. How many of you have to travel at least 15 minutes a day to work? Just kind of wave your hand. I know some of you may. How many of you have to travel under 15 minutes? How many of you don't do any traveling? All right. Well, let me encourage you. You can pray in the Spirit when you're driving to work. And then when you're coming home, you can begin to pray in the Spirit again. And again, there's so many opportunities we have to pray in the Spirit, you know. And so I like to, whenever I get up in the morning, I get in the shower. Many times we'll get in the shower and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm cranking up my motor. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? I can't go there this morning, but I would encourage you to pray in the Holy Ghost at all the time. Amen. Now, we have been ministering a message on the keys of the kingdom, and this morning I have something special we want to give out to everybody that's here, and so I'm going to ask that our ushers come forward to do that at this point in time. But I want everybody to grab one of these keys. I want you to put it on your keychain, or put it somewhere in your house, put it somewhere where you can see it. This does not open anything in the natural, but what it is something that is representative of what I believe the Lord is wanting to release in this church body. And I believe that God is giving you keys. God is causing keys to be inserted into things within your life, into your spirit man, to open up things that have not been opened up. But I believe it's also that God's giving you keys that you, where you can begin to unlock things in the lives of others and also even within your family. How many of you say, I want God to use the key that He's given within my life? You see, we've all been given keys. However, most Christians are not using the keys that have been given them. And I believe that the Lord is saying, take your keys out and begin to use them. You can have a key to an automobile, but you still got to go insert it into the ignition and then crank the car up in order to go somewhere in that car. So the key by itself is not going to get you anywhere. As a matter of fact, you can't ride anywhere on the key. The key is only there to unlock, to crank something, to get something going within your life. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord today is igniting things and causing things to come to a place where it you begin to have forward progress within your life. Amen? If you're in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. So here we see that Jesus, speaking to the church of Philadelphia, he says that he has the key of David. Now, how many of you know that everything that Jesus has been given to the church? So understand, whenever Jesus said he has the key of David, it's not so that he would be the only possessor. It's because he wants that key to be released within the church. And that's what he's declaring to the church at Philadelphia. I have the key of David, and now doors are going to be open that need to be opened, and nobody will be able to shut it. Now, we've already spoke about this a little bit, but understand that the key that Jesus is talking about here is not a literal key. What the key is, it is anointings, gifts, and graces. Everybody say anointings. Say gifts, say graces that God has released within the church that enable us to actually begin to open doors that need to be opened. Understand that whenever the Bible says that the Lord opens a door, understand he will always use somebody else in conjunction with what he is doing. In other words, what God does in the earth, he will always find a man or a woman to flow through in order to see it accomplished. Whenever people get healed, why do people get healed? Is it just because the Lord's healing? Well, yeah, the Lord's healing, but he's using somebody to be his hands. He's using somebody to be the one that initiates and releases his power within the earth. So what we see is that the Lord never does anything where he has exempted himself from the church. Everything that we see Jesus doing from the time of the infilling of the Holy Spirit to the time of the resurrection, infilling of the Holy Spirit, until now, he's always using a person that is a part of the body of Christ. The same way my brain cannot do anything by itself. I have to have a body. That's the only way that I can do and carry out what my brain is wanting to do. I may want to go over there to that table, but my brain sends impulses to my legs and my entire body so that it will begin to move in a coordinated way so that it will take me over to that table. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? You may want to do something, but the want by itself will not get it done. You have to have a body to carry it out. Understand this. What God wills to do cannot be done just because he wills to do it. He has to have a body to carry out his will. So when he says that I've got the key of David and I'm opening doors, understand this. What he is saying is I'm releasing the key of David, and now you're going to begin to see doors open that no man will be able to shut. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region, Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14, they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Your for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Aren't you thankful for that? And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Now, can you see right here what Jesus is saying is, I've got keys and I'm going to release them to you. So understand, the key of David is not something that's just reserved for Jesus. It is a key that he is releasing. It is a part of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that we could probably even argue that it's the same key or keys that is being released in earth, even the ones that Jesus is talking about here. And with those keys, hear this, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Hallelujah. And whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Listen, God has given the church binding and loosing power. You know what? We can't take the approach and the attitude, whatever happens on the earth, that just must be God's will. No, what Jesus said, I've given you keys, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Let me say it like this. If there's things that's going on in the earth that we don't like, then it's time that we begin to take some keys and bind those things and put them in prison. Hallelujah. If there's things that need to be released in the earth, then we've got to take the keys of the kingdom and begin to loose and unlock those things so that everybody can begin to experience them. You see, we can't just take the attitude, que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, que sera, sera, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, who, you know, God's in, you know, you ever heard this, God's in control of everything? Well, praise the Lord. Now, please understand, I understand, I believe that God's in control of everything that I allow him to be in control of. He's in control of my life. Why? Because I am allowing him to take the driver's seat within my life. Let me tell you what, I know a lot of people that God's not in control of their life. Y'all don't shout me down now. And you can tell by the way that they're living. Listen, the man that is stealing and robbing from banks, God's not in control of his life. And so we have to understand, although yes, God's sovereign, but listen, in his sovereignty, he has limited himself to operate and function through the authority that he has given to those in the body of Christ. So he can't do anything unless we are willing to submit ourselves wholly to him and then allow him to flow through us. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. I'm not saying that God doesn't have all power, because he certainly does. However, that power is limited to what we will allow to flow through us. He desires to do things that many times man will not cooperate with, and as a result of that, it doesn't happen within the earth. The will of God is not automatically accomplished. Let me give you another example of this. The Bible says, it is not the will of God that any man should perish, but that all would come into everlasting life. How many of you believe that that's the Bible? That he says it's not the will of God that any should perish. But how many of you know people every day are dying and going to hell? That's not the will of God. However, because of what they have done or what they have refused to do or what others may have refused to do in reaching out to these people, they end up dying and going to hell, all because man and those that God has called have not done exactly what they are called to do. They haven't cooperated with him. I hope you understand that. Now understand, the key of David, let's go to the key of David. The key of David... That they are anointings, gifts, and graces that unlock and loose things on earth and in the heavens. Understand that everything that Jesus possesses has already been given to the church. So listen, we as the church have the key of David. It's already been given to us. And we see those gifts and graces and anointing actually operating in the life of David. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And I believe that even within the life of David, you can see these anointings, you can see these gifts, you can see these graces in manifestation and operation. As a matter of fact, I believe that you can, within the life of David, I believe to a certain degree, you can see manifestations of all five of the ministry gifts that we read about over in Ephesians chapter 4 of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Although I know that he was We know that he functioned as a prophet. As a matter of fact, the Bible even refers to him as a prophet. We know he functioned as a psalmist. We know he functioned as a king. But I believe there are different elements of each fivefold ministry gift that David actually functioned in and operated, because David had a unique ability and insight that God had given him, where he was always able to reach over into the New Testament and appropriate things even while he lived in the Old Testament. Because you know what it says over there in the New Testament is that God was going to restore the tabernacle of David. God wasn't restoring the tabernacle of Moses. He was restoring the tabernacle of David. Why would God restore the tabernacle of David? Because David prophetically saw what we would experience as new covenant believers in Christ. And he went ahead and established a tent that would mimic what we would receive as new covenant believers. He had insight. He had revelation that the Father brought to him, which enabled him to do things and appropriate things and grab hold of things that others were not able to appropriate. So understand this, the key of David. It's gifts, anointings, and graces that God releases within the church. It opens doors and causes things to begin to take place within our life. Now, we started talking just a little bit about the key of kingly authority. Everybody say kingly authority. Everybody understand this. As a New Testament believer, you have been given authority already. Would you look at somebody and say, I've got authority? Look at somebody and say, you've got authority. Now, one of the problems, though, that we've had in the body of Christ is we haven't understood what authority was there for. And what's happened many times is we have taken the authority that God has given us, and we've used that authority like Saul used that authority. Because if you look, what Saul always did, Saul was all about himself. If you do a study about Saul, Saul was self-centered. Saul was always about pleasing people rather than pleasing God. He was always about how that he would look rather than pleasing the heart of the Father. He was consumed with dignity and the appearance the persona that he would give off to man, but he was not consumed with doing what is right. Whenever he had sinned against what Samuel had told him to do, was the command of the Lord, what ended up happening is he, instead of repenting for what he did, he tried to justify it. And then at the end of the whole situation, he said, Samuel, would you just come out here and walk out here with me? Because I want everybody to see you beside me, because I'm concerned about how everybody, what they're going to think if you're not with me. So he's all wrapped up in himself. How many of you know that God did not give you authority so that you could be wrapped up in yourself? God, deliver the church from me, myself, and I. Lord, calls us to begin to get an understanding that the authority that you have given us is for the purpose of blessing the world and blessing the body of Christ and seeing the kingdom of God come to planet Earth. Hallelujah. Amen? So it's not just about me. It's about everybody, glory to God. It's not about just what I can have. It's about the authority God's given me to see things transpire even in the lives of other people. Can everybody say amen? And I talked about, you know, in this whole, the kingly authority that David operated in, the thing that it is closely connected to is what we would see functioning through a New Testament apostle. The kingly mantle that David had upon his life can also be associated in the New Testament with the ministry gift of the apostle. Now again, I said this last time I shared on this, it is important that we understand there is a Saul order and there is a Davidic order. The Saul order always did things in the wrong manner. The Davidic order, not to say that David was perfect, but his heart was right before God. And I tell you, I would rather have somebody do something wrong and have the right heart than do something right and have the wrong heart. Because the Bible says that God's looking on the heart more than anything else. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm not justifying wrong behavior. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I believe that what's more important to the Lord than anything else is your heart. Amen? So there has to be a shift within the body of Christ for us to function fully And to take the key of David in this realm of authority and kingly authority to begin to function in the way that God has called us to function. Unfortunately, some people, in the name of the authority in Christ that they have perverted the grace of God and done things, so to speak, in the name of authority that has not been righteous and has not been the way that God desires for it to be used. Let me say it like this. You know what? Somebody can use their authority to manipulate somebody, or they can use their authority to help somebody. Are you following this? And I know that we've seen people take their authority that they've been giving, even in the workplace, and they begin to use their authority in the wrong way. They use their authority to dominate rather than train and nurture. Are y'all following what I'm saying? And see, there's a correct way to use the authority. See, the Saul order, the way that Saul used his authority was wrong. The way that David used his authority, he got it right, praise God, amen? So the old way, we have to shift out of an old Saul order. See, the old way of thinking is we have a local church just for the blessing of the members. See, the new order is this. There's a local church for the launching pad and base to bless the nations of the world. Amen? See, it's not just about what God wants to do in Panama City, but what God wants to do in Orlando and what God wants to do in Minnesota and what God wants to do in Gainesville, Georgia. Hallelujah. We have a church that we're going up to minister for in August, and they're wanting to become a part of our network right now. Praise God. So, and by the way, it's an Hispanic church. I don't know Spanish, but they sense something in the spirit. Are you here? There's like this thing that you can't really articulate clearly in the natural, but there's something about that individual that is different than in somebody who wants to lord over us. Listen. The apostolic is not about lording over people. It's not about bossing people around. It's not about throwing your weight around, glory to God. What it's about is having a father's heart that loves people, that cares for people, that wants to see people come up to another level. And listen, there is a call of God for every person in this church body to come up to a higher level. I said, you got to come up to a higher level, amen. You see, you have to begin to think outside the box. You got to think outside of Saul's box and begin to think in the realm of David. See, the old gear was pastor does everything. New gear is this. Pastor equips believers to do the work. That's the new order. See, I'm not going to do all the work here. There's too much. And then, you know, unfortunately, that's the reason a lot of pastors end up going to their grave early. They wouldn't take any vacation. They wouldn't take any time for their family. You know, whenever Ken and Trudy Blunt were here, it's amazing. We were shocked. This is the first time I always admired him. I watched him as Nicodemus on the Gospel Bill show. And, you know, because I didn't have any choice because Joshua wanted to watch it all the time when he was little. And I watched every Gospel Bill show that there was. I don't think there was one that was created that I hadn't watched. But I remember him being Nicodemus. But we found out, when we started talking, one of the things that we started talking about is how uncanny it was that how we both felt the same way about family and ministry. And what he told me, he said, it is rare to find pastors and ministers that feel this way about ministry where they will actually prioritize their family and make it a priority within their life. Now, I want everybody to understand, I still do a lot of church. We do a lot of, and we still reach out, we touch people. But what I have to realize is this, I can't effectively minister to those within this house until first of all I minister to those in my own house. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Billy Sunday. Anybody heard of Billy Sunday? He was an evangelist back in the days of Prohibition. And Billy Sunday, one of his primary messages was the dangers of alcohol, but he's a very well-known evangelist and also was a baseball player. But Billy Sunday, he had, I believe it was two sons. Both of his sons ended up dying and, in his own words, went to hell. He won hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord. And on his deathbed, what he said, I'd trade every one of them if I could just see my two sons. See, and I want everybody to understand the reason I say this. Something within that man, although he may have preached great and although he may have won a lot of people, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own household, his own soul? You see, if I'm not, first of all, a good husbandman over my own house, then I'll never be able to properly take care of the house of the Lord. So anyway, I was talking about Ken and Trudy Blunt. We were talking about this. Said this is such a rarity that people actually have this kind of understanding. And I want you to realize that that's the same understanding that we want to impart. I have seen too many ministers fall by the way, all because they were in the name of going after the call of God, they were really going after ambition. And listen, God hasn't called you to be somebody that chases ambition and chases dream. God's called you, first of all, I know that there's future pastors in this church body. Hear this. The first people you got to pastor is your own family. And you have to be a faithful person over that. And by the way, ladies, it's the same way. You got to, first of all, be faithful over your kids, over your own house. You know what? And then there's plenty of time for ministry. I hope you understand what I'm saying. All right, so the old gear, pastor does everything. That's what I was connected to. The new gear is pastor equips believers to do the work. I'm not going to do all the work. However, I'm not living on easy street, but what I'm saying is this. With an apostolic shift, there is an understanding of authority that God has placed throughout the body of Christ, and you begin to use your authority, and you begin to do the work of the ministry. Look at somebody and say, you've got something to do. The old gear is us four no more. New gear, national and global influence. We've shared a little bit about this. The old gear is a nice little church that never rocks the boat. The new gear is this. We're a warring church that sinks ships. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Jesus said this, I give you power and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Can you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've got authority today. You see, there is the key of kingly authority that God has given to each and every one of us. Every one of us has been given authority through the name of Jesus. However, we are called and commissioned to properly use that authority in the right manner and in the right way. Amen? In other words, we don't have authority just so we can sing about authority. We don't have authority just so that we can get our own healing. We're given authority so that we can go into the highways and the hedges and we can see signs, wonders, and miracles performed, and people can be delivered and set free by the power of God. Amen? Amen. So the fact that we've been given authority, we have to ask ourselves, what do we want in this community? Because Jesus said, I'm giving you whatever you bind on earth to be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth to be loose in heaven. What do we want to see in this community? What do we want to see in our families? What do we want to see in our nation? You know what? There's some things that need to be changed in our nation. Y'all, please don't shout me down, but I'll say it one more time. There are some things that need to change in our nation. There are some things that need to be... We do not need... hallelujah, I'll go ahead and say it. Our marriage needs to be defined once again as one man and one woman. We have a choice. Either we can tolerate it and put up with it, or the body of Christ can rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost and we can say these things ought not to be. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? Why do we sit around? Why don't we use the authority that we have been given in the name of Jesus and see these things pulled down in the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the only thing, I just want to make sure I'm healed. I want to make sure I'm blessed. Everybody else can go to hell. I don't care. See, whatever you tolerate in one generation, listen, I'm not being a hate monger. I'm saying this because I love people. whatever you tolerate in one generation. And God forgive all the pastors that are scared to get in the pulpit and say anything about it. And either cause a revival to come in their hearts or remove them and put somebody that will say something about it. I'm afraid people might leave. I'm afraid people are going to die and go to hell if you don't say something about it. You know, since when, why are pastors so, they've got the chicken spirit. Get spirit of fear. You see, we got all these things going on that's just, we've tolerated it and tolerated it and tolerated it and tolerated it. But I'm telling you what, God is causing something to begin to arise in the church today where we're saying enough is enough. I'm not taking it anymore. We're not going to take this wave of our leaders pushing stuff down our throat that we don't want, making orders and doing things that do not need to be done in the name of their own agenda that is ungodly, it is unbiblical, it is unrighteous, everything about it is wrong. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that overwhelming response also. Hallelujah. You see, at some point in time, in other words, see, if you allow it, then God will allow it. You know why we're in this situation? It's because we've allowed those things. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm just saying the body of Christ at large. If the church would unite and begin to say, we will not allow this. If we become the ecclesia, hallelujah, or the ecclesia, however you want to pronounce it. Because whenever you study about the ecclesia, which is what Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, it was actually a ruling, governing body that was to say what could happen in the city, and they would forbid things from happening in the city. So you weren't called just so that you could go to heaven. You are called to be a part of the ecclesia. And the ecclesia says, we're not going to take this. We're not tolerating this. We're going to do something about it in the name of Jesus. Amen? You see, you got to start with your own household. And you start with your own kids. And by the way, you start whenever they're real young. And you don't let them get away with everything that maybe every other kid. You don't let them get away with watching what every other child may be watching on television. You don't let them sit there and watch television programs that are going to flaunt homosexual activity right there in front of their face. And you're going to say, that is not the way that we live. This is the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I know I'm preaching strong right now. That's a hug from me to you. There's a lot of things that have got to be changed in this nation. And I don't know how it's all going to be changed, but I do know the person that has the power to produce the change. And by the way, it's not any of the three candidates that are necessarily still in the running right now. It's his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He has the power to change the hearts of men and women to bring change into the nation. Amen. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I mean, we're going to have one of those three. Now, I'm not making much comment right now, but I'm just saying, church, if there's ever a time we needed to pray, we need to pray right now. And if God has to raise up a heathen to get in there and totally be a wrecking ball and knock everything over and put things right, then so be it. Hallelujah. But I don't know. I don't know exactly how it's all going to take place, but I do know this. I've been given power and authority. I've been given keys to the kingdom. That's what I do know. And whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to let God do the rest. Hallelujah. See, if we'll just step out of the boat and do our part, then God will say, now I can move in and begin to do what you couldn't do by yourself. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but God gave man an original, I call it the first commission. Everybody say the first commission. Now, I want everybody to hear this. You got to hear the spirit and the heart that I say this in. The first commission is even more important than the Great Commission. The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, where Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved." And then it goes on to say, teaching them to observe whatever I have commanded you. Isn't that interesting that Jesus actually told them to teach them what he had commanded them to do? Oh, praise God, I don't have time to go there either. But Matthew 28, that's what we've called the Great Commission. You know what, the church, we've focused in a lot on that. However, you gotta always realize this, hear this, whatever God declares in the beginning is always the most important thing, because whenever you see God creating man in the garden, the first thing that he tells Adam, hear this, he says, "Adam, you take dominion." Everybody shout, "Take dominion."
Dominion.
"You take dominion over everything that's creeping on the earth. Take dominion over every living thing that's on the earth right now. I am authorizing you." See, authorize is the root word for authority. You author or authorize, from those words we get authority. So I am authorizing you. When somebody is authorized, they are given authority to carry out something. So Jesus says, "I authorize you, Adam, to take dominion in the earth." And do you realize that if Adam would have done that in the beginning, we would not be in the position that we're in right now. We are in a world that is riddled with the curse and riddled with sin and riddled with all these things that are going on that are wrong and sinful, all because Adam did not take dominion over the serpent whenever the serpent showed up. God had already told him, "Adam, take dominion over all the creeping things, slithering things." What Adam should have done whenever the serpent showed up is say, "Come here, buddy." Bam! Now get out of here. Adam did not take dominion. And can I tell you, every bad thing that we have in the earth right now is all due to Adam not taking dominion, not using the authority that he had been given.
That's good.
But I have some good news for you. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. And whenever Jesus came, he restored the place from which Adam fell from. And along with that, he said, "Now I give you authority and I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." What do you think that Jesus is referring back to? He's referring back to the original commission that was given to Adam in the Garden of Eden. What he was saying is, now you've been given authority, now you can go back and start doing what God originally called Adam to do. Now the second Adam has restored what the first Adam lost. Oh, hallelujah. So now we, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given keys to the kingdom. And one of those keys is kingly authority. And he says, "I want you to insert the key that I have given you and begin to see things bound that need to be bound." Oh, praise. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. See, God's plan from the beginning was Adam crushed the head of the serpent. God's plan was never for man to be dominated by the devil. But the good news is this: where Adam failed, the church will succeed in the name of Jesus. In Psalm 8, verse 4 through 6, it says that God, you have made him to have, the Lord, this is what the Lord's saying to man, you have made him to have dominion. Listen, you are not made to be ruled over. The Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over you. Listen, if sin is taking dominion in your life, then you need to turn the tables quickly. Get your key out and begin to use the key of the kingdom, the kingly authority, and you take dominion over sin. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Listen, the devil is not supposed to be lording over you. You're supposed to be lording over the enemy. He is underneath your feet. Hallelujah. Sickness was not designed to lord over your body. You were designed to walk in healing and health and wholeness. Poverty and lack was not designed to lord over you. You were designed to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Hallelujah. Family oppression, hear this. You are not designed to live in that manner. You're designed to take dominion. And if the enemy's come in and trying to take control of your sons or your daughters, you take the word of God, Joel 2, in the last days, he will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and my daughters, they will prophesy. Use the authority that you've been given. Everybody hold up your key. Hold up your key. Come on, hold up your key. Everybody say this. I've got the key. I've just got to use it. You see, so many times what happens in the body of Christ, things happen, and we don't rise up at the moment that we need to rise up. And I am giving you an exhortation of the Spirit today. Today's your day to start rising up. Today is your day to begin to take the authority that you have been given in Christ Jesus. Amen. None of those things that I just spoken of, that's not your lot in life. Sickness is not your lot in life. Oppression is not your lot in life. Family problems is not your lot in life. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear this. For all of you that are married, God wants you to have a happy marriage. I'm not saying there won't be times that you won't have to overcome some things, but I'm telling you, you can use your authority in the name of Jesus. Don't start rebuking your spouse. You got to use your authority on yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? I bind what I'm wanting to say right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, there's times you get... Now, listen, I want to give you just real quickly a couple of principles that you need to enact today and in every day of your life, to begin to walk in this key of authority, kingly authority. This is the key that we have been given. It's a part of the key of David. What we see, first of all, Jesus saying, he said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Basically, what Jesus was saying is, who am I? This is the first thing. You've got to begin to identify and recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. And you can't identify and recognize who you are in Christ if you don't know who he is. You got to know who he is. You got to know that he is my Jehovah Rapha. You got to know that he is my Jehovah Jireh. You got to know that he is the author and the finisher of my faith. You got to know that he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. And now I can come boldly before the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. I am the head and I am not the tail. I am above and I'm not beneath. Praise God. Let me say it like this. I'm the brains and not the butt. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus was saying, who am I? Listen, if you don't know who he is, then you'll not know who you are. I'll say that again. You might want to write that down. If you don't know who he is, then you will not know who you are. Because our lives are hid with Christ in God. That's what it says in Colossians 3, verse 3. You have been recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things, the old you has passed away. It doesn't exist any longer, and all things have been made new. You need to recognize this, that when the old man wants to raise his hand for recognition, don't recognize him. Listen, that happens in every one of our lives. The old man's wanting to go like this all the time. I want recognition. And you got to tell that old man, no, I am crucified with Christ, with the affections and the lust thereof. Old man, get back in your casket. Hallelujah. Amen. Understand, you're not a victim, you're a victor. Listen, you never live your life as a victor with a victim mentality. Oh, I got to say that again. You can't live victorious in Christ if you've got a victim mentality. Everybody's always treating me wrong. Everybody's doing this and da 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 and da da da. You know, it's just woe with me, woe is me, da 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 da. And you start sounding like a broken record, my friend. You will stay there for your entire life. But let me tell you what, you can begin to, you can have a new recording within your life. Hallelujah. I said you can have a new CD. You can have a new download. You can have a new MP3 downloaded right into your MP3 player, and that can begin to say, I am am who he says that I am. I have what he says that I have. I can do what he said that I can do. Amen. See, I can begin to reprogram myself with what God's word has declared and what he has said. Amen. Here's the second principle. Notice what Jesus also said. Who do you say? Everybody say, say.
Say.
Everybody shout, say.
Say.
Who do you say that I am? Understand this. You've got to start speaking the language of authority and dominion. David spoke the language of authority. You ever notice the life of David? Whenever he went out to meet Goliath, he didn't say, Mr. Goliath, you think we could actually have a little peace treaty here? After all, you know, you're real big and I'm real little. You know, I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. But, you know, maybe we could work things out. You know what David does? He shows up on the battlefield. See, he's already functioning something because he's already been anointed. Although he is not actually the functioning king, he's already beginning to function in this kingly authority before he actually even takes the throne. I don't have time to go there either. But understand this. He gets out there, and he hears the threatenings of Goliath, and he's not shaking. He's not trembling. You know what he says? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? There's a little attitude here. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? Are y'all with me? That ain't what he was doing. Are you serious? Who is this uncircumcised? This man doesn't even have a covenant. We're God's covenant people. He's defying the armies of the living God. He's defied God himself. He's cursed God himself. What in the world is going on? Something is not right here. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. I will go and fight him. Because I know this. Oh, I can't die. And the reason I can't die is because I've had some oil poured on me. There is a key that has been given to me. Nobody knows it but me and Daddy right now. But God's already said that I'm going to the throne. I'm in covenant with God. This giant doesn't even have a chance. I've already been given kingly authority. Woo. I've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Boy, there's so much revelation flowing if you'll grab a hold of it right now. Man, there's something that's in me that's greater than that giant right now. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? I will go and fight him. And then, of course, you know, Eliab, his oldest brother. Oh, that you don't understand. Your heart's wicked and you don't understand. That's not the way that we do that. I could preach all morning on it right on that. And you know what the Bible says, David, he said, he turned to another person. He said, what's going to happen to the person that goes out and wipes the ground with that guy? What's going to happen to him? What's that? IRS is be banished from his life for the rest. He's not going to have to pay any taxes. Woo! Oh, and he's going to have a beautiful woman. The king's going to give him his daughter for his wife. Woo! I'm going to burn in love. I'm ready. You know the rest of the story. So he goes out there to face Goliath. He didn't go, ah. No, he said, after the giant goes on his rant, he said, listen, you come at me with a sword and spear, but I come against you in something greater. than your sword and greater than your spear, greater than your ruling, greater than anything else you've said, greater than the economy, greater than what the boss said, greater than what the doctor said. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of the armies of Israel, of whom you defy. I'm coming at you in the name of Almighty God. Starts prophesying to him, said, hey, I just want to let you know, you ain't going to be here tomorrow. That's right. I am going to give your body. This is almost kind of gross, you know what I'm saying? But something rose up on the inside of him. I'm going to give your body. See what? I'm going to give your body to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. I can just see David out there. I mean, he's like probably the toughest, meanest Navy SEAL that's ever come out on the scene. Roar, you know. Roars coming out of the guy. See, dynamite comes in small packages. He said, I'm going to give your body to the birds of the air. See all those birds up there? They're going to be eating on you in just a moment. And the beasts of the field, they're going to come and they're going to devour your carcass. And everybody's going to know that there's a Lord God in Israel. Can I tell you, there's something that's going to take place when the church rises up with kingly authority. Whenever we begin to say to the Goliaths, no longer are we going to be intimidated. No longer are we going to be afraid. We're going to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost. I am not going to be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. Amen? Or the terror that flies by day or the arrow that flies by night. I'm not going to be afraid any longer. David spoke the language of authority. See, if you don't say the right thing, you'll not experience the life, a life of authority. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your words are seeds that are going to produce a harvest. Listen, if you want a harvest of dominion and authority, then you've got to speak the language of dominion and authority. Amen? Don't allow your tongue to become used by the enemy. Amen? This is the next thing. Are y'all getting something out of this? I'm coming to a close. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. Understand this, you have to refuse to believe anything other than God's word. You see, Peter wasn't going on what flesh and blood. See, flesh and blood revealed that he was a carpenter's son. Flesh and blood revealed that he could build a house. But you see, Peter had something revealed by the Holy Spirit to him, by the Father God to him, that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You see, that which flesh and blood reveals is different than what the Father says. You know what? What flesh and blood revealed about our daughter, Kayla, whenever she was in the womb, was that she wasn't even there. She was just an empty sack. That's what flesh and blood revealed. However, the Holy Spirit had revealed something else. The Holy Spirit had revealed that we would have a daughter who would be a dancer in the house of the Lord. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. And it doesn't matter what the report may come to you, flesh and blood may reveal one thing, but I've got good news for you. There's another report. There's another report that God has for you today. Amen. Whose report will we believe? Do you know the song? Whose report will we believe? Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. Hallelujah. Whose report are you going to believe? You see, you have to make a decision. Flesh and blood reveals one thing. However, I'm going to believe what the Father has revealed. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you get this. See, this is the key to using the key. You got to start using the key. Amen. Regardless of what may be happening around you, you got to say, I choose to believe what God's word says. I will not deviate from what he said. If he said it, he will do it. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. If he said I'm healed, I'm healed. If he said I'm prosperous, I'm prosperous. If he said I'm the head, I'm the head. If he said you're not the tail, then I'm not the tail. Period. Done with. Case closed. Amen. This is the last thing. Are you ready? Last thing, walk in obedience. You got to understand that you've been given authority. However, if you start walking in disobedience, it's kind of like a rogue cop. And how many, somebody who operates outside of the law, they ultimately, who's supposed to be in law enforcement, ultimately they're going to get their badge removed, and they'll get, they won't have their gun any longer. They won't have their police car anymore. They won't be able to exercise the authority that they had, all because they themselves were not functioning in a place of obedience. I hope you hear what I'm saying. You see, we have to walk in obedience if we want to see the authority of God released within our lives. We can't live however we want to live. Walk and talk however we want to walk and talk, and still expect the authority of God to move and flow through us. Amen? The Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you're willing and what? Obedient. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Amen? But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured. It's amazing how often people quote the first part of the verse, but not the last. He says, if you walk in disobedience, you're going to be devoured. That's what the Bible says. Look at somebody and say, that's the Bible. That's not a negative confession. That's the Bible. And we have to realize that we can't just do whatever we want to do and live however we want to live and expect the blessing of God to be manifested and use the authority that God's given us. Amen? It's like this. Either we eat or we're going to be eaten. Either we take dominion or we're going to be dominated. Either we use our authority or we won't have any. And I'm saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to rise up and use the key of authority that's been given to me. I said, I'm going to use the key of authority in my life. Would you stand to your feet this morning? How many of you have received something from this? I'm telling you what, there's revelation that's been flowing in the house today. The Lord has been speaking very strongly this morning about what He desires to do, about what He wants to do, about the authority He wants to be released within our lives. And we've got to make a decision, and we have to say, Lord, I'm going to take the key of authority that You have given me, this key of the kingdom. And whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever I loose on earth will be loose in heaven. In the name of Jesus. I want you once again, if you can find your key that you've been given, take your key. I want you to hold that key up. I want you to hold that key up. And I want us to make these declarations this morning. I want you to make this declaration. In the name of Jesus, I'm using my key. In the name of Jesus, I'll use the key of authority. I thank You, Father, for the authority that You have given me through the name of Jesus. I thank You that I can step out and begin to see the miraculous happen within my life. I choose to activate this key that I've been given. In the name of Jesus, I will see things change. I thank You, Father, for turn around in every area of my life that needs change, that needs a turnaround, we declare it, we release it in the name of Jesus. Now give the Lord a praise this morning. Hallelujah.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.